Hello, friends. We are on the eve of a fairly big football game in Norfolk, trademark AJ. That's right, friends. It's time once again for the East Anglian Derby. The reverse fixture at Carrow Road is tomorrow, and we are here to break it down for you in the first of two KOA podcasts around the Derby coming to you today. I am Mark Heath. I'm your host. Joining me, all three of my fellow Kings, Rossi, Stewie, and the aforementioned AJ. And before we get rolling on, obviously, the huge talking points around this game, boys, I just want to start with a very simple question. I'm going to start with Watson because he's had more of the pain. How are we feeling? I suppose, Rossi, you are. Yeah, I mean, you have been around a little bit longer. But, Stewie, you've covered Ipswich Town for 13 seasons, never seen them win a derby game. You've seen them get tonked in a few. You wrote a brilliant piece about what this game means in the context of the season and the whole context of the derby. How are you feeling, mate, on the verge of this game?
Honestly?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Mixture of feelings. And I think that's the same with every Ipswich fan that I bump into. I played football last night with a bunch of Town fans, and that sort of weird feeling in the tummy I think everyone's got at the moment, of sort of a mixture of feelings that this is such a team to be proud of, that represents the club so well at the moment, that dealt with the occasion so well. Okay, they didn't get the win last time around, that you've got that belief in them with what they're doing, but also everything that's going into this fixture as well, with Norwich having picked up and their record against Ipswich over so long. It's just, yeah, it only really sort of dawned on me, I would say, middle of this week, because all the attention was on the busy Easter weekend and Southampton with everything that came with the late winner. Tuesday, we were still sort of basking in the glory of all that. And then sort of Wednesday, Norwich is here. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about everything going into this game. So, yeah, a real mixed bag of emotions going into this one. I think there's moments where you convince yourself, everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm really confident in this team. And then there's other little moments where you think, oh, no, it's not going to happen again, is it? So, yeah, it's all jangling around in the head at the moment, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's the stuff in the basement from the Rocky Balboa film, isn't it? Rossi, in order of pain, obviously you have followed Town your whole life. Can you remember them beating Norwich?
Ooh, yeah, 2009. Sorry, Larry German, that is the start, and that is the real, you know.
Can you remember that though? Like, I can't. How old?
Yes, and no. I was 13 or no 12. So I somewhat remember. I think I just remember the day itself, just you know, the build up to it. And yeah, I just remember John Stead's goal because he took his shirt off, and you know, that was the third goal to sort of clinch it. Although Norwich did score late on to get consolation in the end, but I've never seen Ipswich beat Norwich at Carrow Road, so because I wasn't there when we last beat them in 2006. So yeah, there's a lot of hurt, a lot of luckily I never really went to school with any Norwich fans, so I've never had like your Norwich fan like, you know, go ha 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 or anything. I've always had like Ipswich Town fans, or you know, there's always Premier League clubs who I've had, you know, friends with. But yeah, this, we were hoping in December that was going to be, fine, we're going to beat them. Hopefully this one will be the case.
But how are you feeling, Rossi? I mean, you've made a good point there, because I'm thinking the last time Town won the derby was 2009. But the last time they actually won at Carrow Road was almost, what, 20 18? Years ago? Jesus, yeah. Jiminy Christ. How are you feeling though, Rossi? Like, would you say you're more or less confident going into this one than you were for the first one?
Yeah. Happy Derby Day Eve, boys, by the way. This is Christmas Eve, you know, getting ready to open up the presents tomorrow for the big game. I'm a bit nervous. I think you're always nervous at any derby. You know, it feels a bit different because, you know, we cover the club and, you know, we're there to do our jobs, you know, do the typey types and get the snappy snaps. Fans will be getting ready to get on the trains, the coaches, their cars, you know, ready to get, you know, really pushed into the away end. So, yeah, any feeling you have for any derby, you know, I'm feeling it right now, you know, pre-match. But when it hits the day itself, I'm going to be absolutely up for it and getting those snappy snaps.
I know Stu and AJ can't wait to start typing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Derby Day Eve there, Rossi. I guess in terms of that being like a Christmas, that would mean that Town fans have been opening coal on Derby days for a long time now. AJ, you have, obviously, you've only just joined us. You've been here for almost a full season now, so you don't have that background of pain and emotion, which is, you can't separate from this game. So you may be able to take a more kind of impartial, stats-driven view. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, a bit like Stu, it's kind of gone up and down in the last few days when you think about different things and you think about the belief you have in this team, what they've achieved. I think the Southampton victory was one of those that really stood out to me. It was the statement kind of win that they needed going into this, and it's one that really gives you the belief. And then at other times, particularly when I'd say you look at Norwich and their recent run, you look at what's happened since Josh Sargent's come back into the team, you look at some of the players they've got there that we'll touch on that have a lot of individual quality, what they've been doing at Carrow Road, all that home form stuff, etc., etc. It swings the other way, and it's different things that pop into your minds at different times, and you know, we'll touch on it. But I was sat in the press conference yesterday listening to a few team news bits, thinking, oh, what, my confidence levels are dropping as I'm sat here listening to all of this. And then you sit in the car and you think, well, actually, if they can do it off the bench, the players that might have to come in, then why can't they do it in the lineup? And it's constantly kind of like this idea of, it's almost like having the devil and the angel on your shoulders telling you different things, and then trying to balance out which one is kind of the right balanced view. And I like to think that I have kind of that idea of being able to take things, as you say, almost like a stats driven thing at face value almost. But when you really kind of boil down what this rivalry is about, you know, how it's panned out over the last few years, what it means, not just on an emotional level, but also now you're looking at it in terms of the points on the board, in terms of the promotion race, in terms of what it will mean for both teams to achieve what they want to. It just swings really wildly between one and the other.
Let's be honest, the historical piece doesn't really count for much, does it, going into this, beyond what it means to all us that have emotionally invested in it and have been over a long period of time. Both Kieran McKenna and Connor Chaplin were right to point out yesterday, it predates us. They've got one experience of the derby this season, which they handled, I thought, exceptionally. Okay, they didn't get the result, but they were able to kind of block out all that noise and put on a performance that deserved a victory. What's happened 5, 10, 15 years ago has no real bearing on this game, does it, when you strip that back? So I'm quite good sort of at thinking more analytically that, but then when you actually look at the stuff going into this game, that you go, all right, Ipswich now without their main striker, Norwich have no doubt improved since the first game, the first meeting. They've got their main striker back. They've won their last 7 home games in a row. So it's those sort of bits, as Alex says, that become the devil on the shoulder sort of going into this game.
Yeah, you both spoke very well there about impartiality and objectiveness. But for me, it's death or glory tomorrow. Stu, how do you reflect then? Because, I mean, if I share how I'm feeling about this game, I'm feeling quite worried about it. I was super confident before the game in December. Everything felt like it was building towards finally ripping that plaster off and getting the win. And now, even though for everything you look at, down the top of the table, incredible run, it's just that feeling that, and now it's Norwich and there's only 6 games left and they could stick a major spanner in the work. So I would say I'm certainly more worried going into this one. How do you reflect though on before we get on to this one, how do you reflect now looking back on the home game? Because I certainly got carried away with predictions for that. But they played, as you just said there, they played well enough to win that game at a canter.
What did you predict? Was it a 5-0 or something?
5-2, I think I said.
5-2. Do you know what? That game could easily have finished 5-2, yeah. Mark. It's not as wild as you would think. Nathan Broadhead could and probably should have walked off with the match ball that day. He missed a couple of glorious chances before he finally did score. In the first half, the one that sticks in my mind is when a little drop of the shoulder in the box, I think it was Stacey and Duffy, that he left both of them on their backsides and then just dinked the shot the wrong side of the post. So they did everything right apart from the finishing, really. Just snatched at a few chances. Chaplin wasn't his usual sort of dead-eye self in front of goal. But I thought, you know, given the remarkable welcome of the team coach and the blue flares, that was the kind of the Exeter coach welcome times 10. Given everything that went into that, you know, 5 years having not faced each other, best part of, I think it was, all of the emotion, all of the pent-up energy that went into that, they were, as we hoped, the kind of calm reflection of their manager and stuck to their usual processes and game plan and controlled the game quite early on. You kind of think sometimes in the derby, the first 20 minutes are a bit chaotic and frenetic and tackles flying in, and that wouldn't necessarily suit Ipswich, but they were able to play their usual game. Missed a load of chances, got in front, and then it was a couple of sort of sloppy moments either side of half time, wasn't there? And even then, they were still able to sort of undo the damage. And let's not forget that that match came off the back of two away trips to, I can't remember which order it was in, Middlesbrough and Watford, away from home. So, all in all, I came away from that okay. It was flat feeling at the end, wasn't it? That they didn't win, that they didn't get it over the line, but the performance and the way they handled it all was, you couldn't really knock it.
How do you reflect now, Rossi and AJ, just briefly on that game? That was your first experience of, I think it was your first experience, actually, was it, AJ, thinking about it? I think you said you'd been to one before, but certainly your first experience properly kind of being involved and covering it in a serious manner.
Yeah, I think it's similar in the sense that in the immediate aftermath, the emotions kind of take over. And if that happens, at least from my perspective, and I'd probably say maybe a little bit from Stu's perspective as well, when you're sat in the press box, I can imagine it'll be the same for those on the pitch and those watching on in the stands. And that is that you can't appreciate in that moment what the performance was in terms of dealing with a team that still has a lot of good threats, even though they weren't in fantastic form, a really strong team, and dealing with the whole occasion, dealing with the bus welcome, which, yeah, is fantastic, will give them that boost. But, I mean, for a lot of people, that would be absolutely nerve-crushing pressure watching on as you come in, see thousands of fans going absolutely mental outside the team coaches you're brought in, seeing the banner as you walk out onto the pitch, all of those different things. And then factoring in that they went in and put in a performance like that. And it's one where you absolutely do have to look at the performance over anything else. And in that moment after the game, and probably actually for a little while after that game, you don't properly appreciate it. And it's then when you look back on it after a while, as Stu said, that you start to appreciate what they managed to do in that occasion. And the one thing that does give me potentially a little bit more confidence going into this game is that although there is so much riding on it in terms of the promotion, in terms of going to Carrow Road and trying to end their good run of form and trying to put a dent into their playoff hopes, all those different kinds of things, I don't necessarily feel like it is the same kind of big occasion, especially from a town perspective, where everything, all the energy went into that game. That a week beforehand, when we were looking at trips to Middlesbrough and Watford, there was always a little bit in the mind thinking about, oh, but it's also the first time that we played Norwich in years coming up. And there was always that little bit that was just kind of focused on that game. And this feels a little bit different in that sense, knowing that nobody was thinking about Norwich when Southampton came to Portman Road on Monday. And now the focus has been able to shift. There's less of that build-up in a way. I think that potentially plays into Town's hands, but that doesn't change that looking back on it with what they were having to work with in that game that finished 2-2 at Portman Road, they still did an excellent job. And as Stu said, there's a couple of goals that... Yeah, maybe offsides, definitely a kind of almost freak goals that they conceded. And on another day, the chances get buried. They don't concede the goals that they do. And we're talking about a chance to go and do the double over them potentially. So I think that you really do have to look back on it with positives more than anything else.
Look how shiny I am, boys. I'm actually sweating talking about this game. It's making me sweat. Rossi, just very quickly then. AJ's given a very long explanation there from the last time they played.
Sorry.
Could have gone for a tea. Rossi, how do you reflect on it?
don't know how we didn't bloody win it, boys, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Nathan Broadhead could have been a Derby Day hero. Happy birthday to Broadie, by the way. He celebrates his 26th birthday today.
Is it?
So, oh. Yeah, 26. But yeah, I don't know how we weren't 3-4 up in that first half, but it is what it is. But yeah, I just don't know how we didn't win that game, but it's done now. We've moved on. We're top of the league. So we're going to Carrow Road, top of the league, and Norwich are obviously a different team who we, you know, played back then. But is it 23 points now? Like when we played them back in December, it's 20 points. Now it's 23, even though Norwich have, you know, been the better team in that sort of few months. So yeah, look back at that game going, should have won it. We didn't. Move on. And we've had a good ride since then.
I reckon if you drew a line right down the screen now between me and Ross and AJ and Stewie, we've got the fire on this side right here, me and Rossi, and we've got the ice over this way. Fittingly, both wearing blue, AJ and Stew. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Got the KOA Ross has got today.
Yeah.
I was thinking this. We've got blue, blue, blue,
red.
This is, you're kind of letting us hide down a little bit here.
I've jinxed things. I thought Ross would be wearing maroon.
We almost had a full blue setup. But yeah, if Ross is wearing maroon, we can have a proper blue corner, red corner situation, but it's not really played out that way.
Sorry.
Stu's just, of course, I need to highlight the fact you can buy KOA merch, Stu. Thank you very much. And you're sporting it beautifully upon your rather muscular chest, if you don't mind me saying. Looking hench, my brother. You can go.
Thank you. I'm going to throw this out there now, and yeah. Maybe a live forum shouldn't be the place to do it, but maybe. Why don't we do a little KOA merch sale if Ipswich win this weekend?
We could.
Have you got the power to do that?
Within quite a structured framework, yeah. I think okay. Maybe. I wouldn't like to promise anything because, right. As I say, it's quite a structured framework. But yeah, you've said it now, Stu, so I'm going to have to go to war and see what I can do.
Okay.
Right then, let's talk about the game now then. We've talked about reflections on last time. We've talked about how we're feeling going into this, the fire and the ice, the passion and the objectivity. What was fact and objective yesterday was the press conferences. You and AJ were both there, Stewie, and obviously the big talking point to come out of it. Big being literally the talking point. Big Kiefer Moore, big chief, not going to play.
Well.
Or is he?
There's obviously a debate here as to whether this could be a bit of pre-derby mind games.
Oh, yeah.
It was. I think we saw it leading into the Leicester game. Was that the away game against Leicester where Maresca talked about Keenan Dewsbury Hall being a major doubt after he'd had a pretty innocuous kick in the previous game, and that did indeed turn out to be mind games, and he started that one, so it can happen. My gut feeling is I don't think that's McKenna's style. And the way that Kiefer went off on Monday didn't look great, did it? It's been described as a severe back spasm. The eye test suggested that was the case. He went off holding his back. It was one of those where I caught it in my peripheral vision at the time, and I said to Alex, he's in trouble here. And he tried to come back on, but you saw him sort of stretching on the sidelines and trying to open up his hips. And we'll find out, won't we, an hour before kickoff, whether that's the case. Kieran always kind of refers to Kiefer as being a robust man, and someone that I think you'd have to take that decision out of his hands. He's that sort of player. I think he'd play through the pain and try, but Ipswich have to make the right decision, not just for this game, but the games ahead. It's easy to forget that there is two home games coming up against Watford and Middlesbrough next week with the same amount of points on offer. But it probably was a gamble to start him at Blackburn after he'd played 120 minutes for Wales in that Euro qualifier on the Tuesday night, and maybe that caught up with him. It's easy to say in hindsight, isn't it? But my feeling is he's probably bench at best, and maybe you can chuck him on as a bit of a battering ram towards the end. And that all signs are suggesting, I would think, that Ali Alhamady makes his first league start for Ipswich Town in an away East Anglian derby. And he's already become a bit of a cult hero, hasn't he, Ali Alhamady, amongst Ipswich Town fans? My word, you can write yourself into folklore if you do something in this game, young man.
Well, I mean, that is, yeah, that's how I feel. If it is going to be Ali Alhamady, cometh the hour, cometh the man. Clearly a huge, huge test for him to make his first start at Carrow Road in a derby in a game that Town haven't won for so long and also is so important in the promotion race. But as you say, Stu, if you are penning stories, it would probably include a goal from Ali Alhamady, wouldn't it? Alex, you're obviously a big Ali Alhamady fan. How would you contrast between what Town lose by Moore not being in the side and what Alhamady can bring?
It's funny, I asked Connor Chaplin the same thing yesterday in terms of how those differences align.
Mm.
His answer was roughly, well, it's the same kind of principles and the differences are fairly clear for all to see. One of them's a very big target man striker and the other one likes the ball to feet a little bit more, is a little bit more kind of slick, likes getting into the pockets. So it will be a different style in a way. I think that there's a couple of sides to this. For starters, Ali Alhamady would love this environment. This is right up his street if he comes in for his first start in this game, because this is a player who is full of confidence. You can have all the missed penalties and missed chances that you want. He's not going to be fazed by any of those things. He will back himself to come into this game and score five goals, absolutely. He's so confident and so kind of bullish about what his ability is, but also down to earth and saying that he can still improve. I think that's a nice balance for a player. And also, the other side to it that I quite like is that teams can prepare for Kiefer Moore in a specific way. You can put players on him that can potentially nullify the threat. And yes, that can open up chances for, say, Connor Chaplin, for example, to then use the space. But I like that potentially Alhamady comes in as a little bit more of a wild card option, especially when you're looking at the centre-backs for Norwich probably tomorrow are going to be Shane Duffy and Ben Gibson. Duffy in particular, quite a big, strong, physical centre-back, and will probably be tasked with marking Kiefer Moore. And then coming up against Alhamady, totally different from what they would have been expecting coming into this game, aside from in the last couple of days and since the press conference. So it's going to potentially throw a new question mark into the works, both for him, of course, in terms of him stepping up and into the starting 11 for a huge game, but also in terms of how Norwich's defence and Norwich's team are going to deal with a very different threat to what they would have been planning for coming into the game.
Hmm. Listen. Oh, sorry, Stu, go on.
I love Ali. I love his passion. I love the connection that he's built with the fans. I can see that why Ipswich have bought him and the potential that he's got. And I say this with the greatest respect, though, there's no dressing it up. It's a downgrade from Welsh international Premier League player Kiefer Moore, who Ipswich have pushed the boat out financially to get to fill the boots of George Hurst in January, to the reality is a player that you've just signed from League Two only a few weeks ago. He's also carrying an injury, which we were kind of aware of that. He missed a few games for Iraq at the Asian Cup with a back problem. And we knew he was carrying something, but that got outlined in a bit more depth by Kieran McKenna at the press conference yesterday. He's going to have surgery on a groin injury that he's carrying. He said it's a type of injury that a lot of players wouldn't play through, but Ali being the type of personality he is kind of battled through the pain as well. So the reality is Ipswich are going into a huge game without George Hurst, still not ready, without Kiefer Moore, and with their raw, semi-fit player that they've signed in January that's just stepped up two divisions. Now, this is the head v heart debate here. The heart is saying Ali Alhamady, he's got Derby Day cult hero written all over him, and maybe he's a bit like chucking a hand grenade in there. Yeah, Mark's smiling away that he's that unpredictable presence for Norwich, chaos. Really. A bit of a chaotic presence, and maybe that's what's required in this type of game. Maybe it's not. We'll see. When he came on at Blackburn, I thought he looked very raw, Ali, but then he came on early against Southampton and sort of grew into that game and found his feet and hit the post, of course. So time will tell, but stark difference between this game with potentially Alhamady and Sargent being the two strikers and the one at Portman Road, back in December when it was George Hurst up front and I think it was Adam Eder leading the line for Norwich then.
Yeah, you're saying the groin injury there has reminded me of something in the long, dim and distant past of a fighter once who complained in a corner, his MMA fight, that he'd hurt his groin, and his coach's reply was, "I don't care, hit him with your groin." So Ali Alhamadi, hit him with your groin tomorrow, please. Rossi, I know you don't like these sort of questions. Obviously, there we see, you pointed out that Ali's carrying an injury. We know Kiefer Moore's carrying an injury. So are there any kind of, and again, McKenna's not really a kind of left field surprise package sort of guy, but is there anything you think that we may not be talking about? Because clearly, you know, obviously Caden Jackson can play up top. Nathan Broadhead has done it before, even Connor Chaplin. You think there might be anything completely out of the blue?
No, and yeah, I haven't got a call. Still waiting for that call, Kieran.
Imagine that. Wow. Yeah. That would be a shock.
I'm feeling a bit, I've got a bit of a, my knees got a bit of an issue. So
he scored 25 goals when he was a 14-year-old, all right? So
I was on fire at goals on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. Maybe there were scouts down there.
Yeah, pretty much. but no, I don't think Kieran McKenna will go mental with this. I don't think he will change too much from Monday. But as we've said in the presser, or what was said in the presser, that there's a few, you know, knocks, a few, you know, illness still in the camp. So, yeah, when the team news get dropped at 11:30, we may see a few shocks. But I don't think he'll muck about with the forward. I think if Ali is ready to go, go for it, lad. You know, make yourself a hero. He's already a hero anyway, become like a fan's favourite already. But if he goes and scores, I think we're going to do a question on the fan social. Is like, if you had to pick a Derby Day hero, who would you pick? And I think a lot of people would say Ali Alhamadi, because that's just how much he would celebrate that goal. I'm sure all the other players would celebrate, but he would just go mental, I'm sure. So we shall see.
I think the only alternative we're talking about here is the one that you mentioned, Mark, is Caden Jackson as the striker. For me, and I think for Kieran McKenna as well, I don't think they really class him as a striker anymore. I think he's fully transitioned to a wide player. During that little period in between Hurst being injured and Moore coming in on deadline day in January, obviously Ipswich tried a few different options. They tried the Nathan Broadhead experiment up front. They tried Caden Jackson up front, who did his job. We know he works his socks off, he presses high, all of those good things, but I don't think any of those experiments could be deemed a sort of a resounding success. They're not enough for them, I think, to turn to it in this game unless they have to. It might happen in-game at some point. I wouldn't have thought whoever starts, whether it's Kiefer surprises us all and starts, whether it's Ali who starts up front, they're not going to do 90 minutes, you wouldn't have thought, given the circumstances that we've discussed. So there's every chance that Caden ends up there at some point. But I'd be surprised if it was from the start.
Imagine the buzz around Portman Road at 11:30 tomorrow if Kiefer Moore is named as a starter. That'd be massive. And also, final thoughts on Ali Alhamadi. We talk about this being a febrile atmosphere for him to potentially make his league debut in. So think about this young man's background. Trotting out of Carrow Road isn't going to be anything to him. I mean, I've got quite a few mates who are scousers, and from what I understand, Toxteth is quite a roughy, tufty area. So trotting out on a green pitch in Norwich, I don't think we'll bother him too much at all. Stewie, the other thing we need to mention around team, which you brought up before we started rolling, is potentially right back. I've done a bit on potential X1s, starting 11s, in which I put Harry Clark in there. And you said, could be Axel Tuenzebi. So shall we have that chat now?
Yes. Yeah, we can have that chat now. Harry Clark, Ipswich boy, will know more than most alongside Luke Wolfenden what this fixture means, what this rivalry means. We saw some of the videos of those two kind of starting some playful anti-Norwich chants when promotion was secured last season. Like Ali Alhamadi, Harry Clark wears his heart on his sleeve, as we know. Is that a good or a bad thing going into this sort of game? Can you harness those emotions correctly? The bigger conversation is that Axel Tuenzebi has made, I think he started 6 of the last 7 games for Ipswich Town at right back, and has been a pretty solid presence in there. He's had some attacking moments, but generally has been a pretty solid right back. You know, someone who's played most of his football at centre half. The system is obviously with Leif Davis bombing on the left, and the right sided centre half tucks in a little bit more. So Yeah, it looks like Axel Tuanzebe's in the box seat for this one, but I think that's probably one of very few areas up for debate in terms of starters for this game.
Has you got any thoughts on that? Because also you're pondering pre-record midfield. You were saying, I think Don Ball should start, is what you said.
Yes, that was my thought. I mean, we're talking about Derby Day heroes and players who want to see win an East Anglian derby. Don Ball would be right at the top of my list.
Oh, my God. That would just be silly. I mean, that would be mental.
That would be like front page, back page, every single page on Monday. yeah, I'll quickly touch on the right-back thing. I quite like Harry Clarke off the bench, and it's nothing to do in terms of his ability. It's just very much looking at the McKenna starters and finishers thing. That being said, I maybe think that Clarke could be a better fit to come up against Borja Sainz, the left winger at Norwich, who's quite wide and direct. And I'd worry maybe a little bit that he could exploit some of the gaps left behind Axel being quite narrow. And then on the other side, you've got Gabriel Sara, who's more of a natural midfielder, will come in narrow. So it's almost like those two balance out the two fullbacks that Town have. In terms of midfield, yeah, Massimo Luongo, I don't think looked really at his absolute best. I mean, obviously, if most of the time, if you've got Mass and Sam Morsi who are fit and suspension free, those are your two midfielders, done, move on. But I think that Jack Taylor's been knocking on the door a little bit. I think that we definitely saw that on Monday with his performance off the bench against Southampton. He was really, really good. Is there a sense potentially that Jack Taylor, almost like Jeremy Sarmiento, is better off the bench, almost like Harry Clarke potentially in this situation? I'd say that's definitely a chance. If you put a water pistol to my head right now, I'd probably say I'd take Mass, but it would definitely be one of those areas where, looking at the recent performances, I definitely would have Jack Taylor in my mind going into this one. He would be one of those, if he doesn't start, you'd be looking to bring him into the action as soon as you see any signs of tiring in that midfield.
Rossi, is there anything else we need to talk around the Town side? Because clearly we do need to talk about the ones wearing yellow as well before we move on to our predictions and get very excited about things, perhaps. Is there anything else you want to mention around this game before we talk about the bloody Canaries?
Yeah, I'm sure the Ipswich boys are well up for this once again. You know, Luke Wolford and Harry Clarke, I'm sure they're going to be telling they said to in December about how important this game is. Obviously, don't play the occasion, just play the game, do what you normally do, do the same setup. You know, obviously, they won't have the same arrival. I'm sure at Norwich, I don't know what they're going to be doing. So yeah, but I'm sure they'll look over at that away end, and you know, it's going to be a great atmosphere as it normally is in a derby. But yeah, I'm just thinking of those two Ipswich boys, they'll be well up for this, I'm sure, and their first taste of the East Anglia derby at Carroll Road, which is different to Portland Road because you're the away team. You're going to get booed at a lot. But yeah, looking forward to see how they do.
Right then. We're going to do something a bit different now because clearly we need to know a little bit more about Norwich, maybe more in depth than we would for a normal game. So Rossi, you spoke to Paddy Davitt, who is the Norwich City editor at our sister paper, the Eastern Daily Press and the Pinken. Do you want to set this up? It's quite a long clip, but I think it's worth us playing in. About 6 minutes of you and Paddy talking about Norwich. Do you want to tee this up, Rossi, and then I'll go for a wee?
Yeah. Yeah. Good chat with Paddy. He's actually a Coventry City fan. Actually, I know he covers Norwich, but he did say that this. So if you want to watch the full version, insight, you can subscribe and watch the full video. But yeah, I just sort of asked him how he's feeling ahead of this game. Obviously, Norwich are a better team than they were when we played them in December. But yeah, good insight from Paddy and. Yeah, he shares his prediction and stuff.
I'll play it.
Okay.
I thought you were going to play it, but I'll play it. I'm going to go make a coffee, boys.
Well, Paddy, how are you feeling for this one, my friends? The cliche, form goes out the window. The derby, of course, Town, not got a good record. They haven't actually won at Carroll Road since 2006. It's actually worse than the whole record itself. So you're going to this one. Town will be, of course, confident, you know, top of the league. But it's going to be a battle, I'm sure. So how are you feeling? What's your overall prediction and thoughts on how the game's going to come about?
I've got to be honest, I can see all three outcomes. I said that at Leicester, actually. We do a team news video and the teams drop an hour before kickoff, and I said all three outcomes, and this is how I feel. And it'll probably fluctuate, a bit like you maybe, mate. It'll probably fluctuate between now and kickoff. You'll have the well, it's going to happen. It's going to be an Ipswich win, and it'll be, well, no, maybe it's a draw. And then the pessimistic gene kicks in, and then you fear the worst. So I've already experienced that this week. I've had periods where I thought, no, this Ipswich side is so good that I just feel they'll come, and as they have done. I mean, the two standout stats for me when I look at Ipswich is, you know, 31 points, is it, from losing positions? I mean, that cuts to the heart. Forget the talent that's in that group of players. It just says everything about the character and the resilience and the fighting spirit. And you've talked to it, I think maybe it was off camera, about the togetherness that McKenna's brought to this group of players. They never know when they're beaten. So, you know, that would be a concern from a Norwich perspective, that even if Norwich got their noses in front, this is a team who are not used to losing over the last two seasons and don't accept losing either. You know, that's the mentality. And then the other one, somebody pointed out to me, they've scored like a third of their goals after the 75th minute, which is kind of, I guess, the flip side of the same coin, really. But again, they just keep going, they keep going. So would I be surprised if Ipswich got that long overdue win? No, I wouldn't, because, you know, and you have to look at and admire, really, what McKenna and those players are doing. It's a phenomenal achievement to come up from League One and continue with their foot to the floor. I mean, I know he's pretty much maligned now in both sides of the border, but Paul Lambert, in a former guys, did this with a Norwich team where they came out of League One, straight away went through Championship, and then he kept them in the Premier League the following season. And that was a group, without being unkind to them, maybe didn't have a lot of superstars, but they just had something as a collective, and he moulded it. And it was so powerful. It was all-consuming, really. And, of course, it swept the fans with them on that epic journey. And I get the sense that's where it is now with Ipswich at the minute. So, yeah, but I'm going to sit on the fence, put the splinters out my backside and say another draw. So, because I just think from Norwich's point of view, they would take that now. I think they would probably sign for that and just another point. And then maybe Coventry win at the weekend and the gap closes slightly. But I just think if they were to come through it unbeaten, psychologically, that's big for them as well, because I'd fear if it went the other way and you've got all the baggage that comes with being the first group of Norwich players to lose the derby fixture since, is it 2009, I think, or 2010, that could have a detrimental impact in terms of what really matters, which is getting in the playoffs and then having a good crack. So I think for me, it's more Norwich who need a result than Ipswich, even if Ipswich didn't get a result. I don't think that materially blows them off course in terms of having a good crack at the top two. And for me, I still think, I said to you, Ross, I think it's them and Leeds. I think, having seen Leicester at close quarters, I don't think they're as strong as the other two teams. So I still feel Ipswich will secure top two, irrespective of, you know, the outcome at Carrow Road. But yeah, that's a long-winded way of saying I think it's going to be a stalemate, and we'll shake hands and then we'll go our separate ways. And you never know. If it isn't the top two, then maybe we meet again in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't know. I can't take that. But Paddy, Carrow Road, it's been a fortress, really, for Norwich since November, pretty much. You know, unbeaten since then. So adds a bit more to this game with Norwich's home form.
Yeah, I mean, seven straight league wins, actually, which is remarkable, because they couldn't buy a goal, let alone a win, this time last season at Carrow Road. That was Wagner's sort of... He came in the January of last year, and they really tailed off dramatically. I think the last five league games, didn't win, didn't score a goal. And there was a lot of upset because obviously the majority of fans are the ones who turn up at home, and they wasn't seeing a lot, and they certainly wasn't being entertained. And we actually had a flashpoint, and it's actually probably turned into a bit of a fault line, really, a bit of a dividing point in the season. They played Watford in January, so quite recently still, and they were 2-1 up. It was around about the hour mark, and Wagner's made a couple of substitutions and got absolute dog's abuse. I'm not exaggerating. You can go back and maybe sort of put it into the Pinken and find out. It was kind of, you don't know what you're doing, and some more uncharitable language directed at him. And to be fair to him, post-match, he's gone for it. He hasn't dead-batted it. I didn't hear it, whatever. He said, fronted it up and said, look, that's not helping. That isn't going to get us to where we want to go to. And actually said, words to the effect, if you're going to do that, stay at home. We don't need you. And you can imagine the reaction. It was pretty polarised. But I think that when the dust settled, it brought things back together. And then from then on, the support has been fully behind Wagner and the players. And it was almost a watershed moment. And as you say, seven straight wins. I think that's the best in the last 15 years at home. So, yeah, as good as Ipswich are at the moment, they are coming into an environment where, you know, Norwich are used to winning games and putting teams away and scoring a lot of goals. So, but McKenna will have done his homework. He'll know all about that. And that's what makes it really fascinating, because I think it is, you could feasibly argue for all three outcomes, and when it's like that, then that unpredictability is what, for me, is going to make this probably, I think you said it as well, Ross, probably the biggest derby since those playoff games back in 2015.
Go on, Paddy, son. Town and Leeds going up, like the sound of that, sitting on the old bench there, on the old fence, saying a draw. Let's unpick some of that, and shall we, AJ? He said there, Norwich are in good form at home. I mean, that's being kind of understating things, really. Was it, they've won seven in a row at home, and clearly, last time these two sides met, they didn't have Josh Sargent as well, who is quite an important player for them.
Yeah, but we'll go on the Josh Sargent stuff first. His goal per game ratio is pretty terrifying. There's a good stat in the preview that'll be up before the game tomorrow morning in terms of the last time that he failed to score in a home league game. Spoiler alert, that's August 5th. So a few things that happened back then, just to put into context as to how long ago that is. Obviously, you do have to factor in that he did have 4 months on the sideline, but that is still including the start of the season where he was in pretty good form, and then also this run now where he's just been scoring for fun. And he is a player that probably typifies the gap between the Premier League and the Championship, because he looked absolutely horrendous in the Premier League, and he came in from Germany, has made this drop down to the Championship, and he looks absolutely fantastic, one of the top strikers in the division. So it does show what the gap is there. And then in terms of the home form, yeah, it's really, really strong, and you can't ignore that. You can't ignore that it's going to be one of the big kind of angles going into this game. At the same time, the opposition potentially is the kind of other side of the coin in that one. They have beaten West Brom 2-0 at that point. West Brom apparently were pretty poor on that day, and they also did beat Coventry. But other than that, was a Watford side who hadn't done a great deal. Cardiff, again, not really that much. Sunderland, who I think lost something like 6 on the bounce fairly recently, won that one 1-0. They put 5 past Rotherham, who've looked detached in the last few weeks. And then the other one after that was Plymouth, which was pretty tight as well. So it's definitely a two sides of the coin situation. You absolutely do have to go in and respect what they've been doing at Carrow Road, but also from their perspective, they've not had a test like this on home soil since, you probably say, New Year's Day, when Southampton came to Carrow Road and picked up a point. Josh Sargent's 78th minute goal, getting an equaliser in that. So a different experience for them, and a different experience for Town going to a team and to a stadium which has been turned into a bit of a fortress in recent weeks.
Can they handle the smoke? The other talking point clearly around the Norwich side, Stewie, is sounds like the guy who scored both goals at Portman Road and is generally one of their best young players, Johnny Rowe, isn't going to be playing in this one.
Unmute myself. No, he's been out since middle of February with a hamstring injury, and this game's come too soon for him. So obviously, he's a highly talented young player that was getting linked with some big clubs across Europe at one stage. 13 goals, 3 assists for him. So he won't be there. I think it's not drastically different in terms of personnel for Norwich since that first game. Josh Sargent up front aside. But they seem to have kind of got some players into better slots in the team. I thought Aaron McLean, their captain, was kind of having to fill in at centre-half earlier in the season, which meant that it was kind of Sara and Nunez as the two kind of holding midfielders, both attack-minded, didn't provide a great deal of protection for the defence. And now they've managed to get McLean back into midfield. Sara's playing a little bit more advanced. We know 11 goals, 11 assists for him. He's a kind of a bit of the X-factor player for them. So, and Signs has kind of emerged a bit. I think that was only his second start at Portman Road. Exciting sort of left winger that can make things happen. I think he started pretty much every game since then and found his feet. So yeah, they're a better team than they were when they came to Portman Road just before Christmas. As you mentioned, 7 straight home wins at Carrow Road. It's actually 12 undefeated at Carrow Road in the league, 10 wins, 2 draws from those games. So that kind of outlines the task that Ipswich face. I'm looking at the form table from the start of February onwards. Leeds are top of that, unsurprisingly. Ipswich second, and then Norwich a third in that form table since the start of February. So, yeah, it's all lined up to be another classic. Our mouths were watering ahead of the Southampton game. Every game just seems massive, doesn't it, at the moment?
The irresistible force meets the immovable object. Big fight feel to this one. Sorry for banging on about fighting all the time. I'm still getting over Fabio's fight from Sunday. Shall we start with predictions then, boys? Before we get to your predictions, I want a different sort of prediction as well. I'm going to start with you, Rossi. I want to know if Ipswich Town, hopefully when Ipswich Town win this game, who's going to be the Derby Day hero? Who's the man? Who is going to be the canary crusher? Who's going to be Alex Matthey? I can't remember if he had a name or not. But Demolition Derby Day, who is the man we're going to be talking about come Saturday afternoon?
Sam Worsley.
Yeah?
Why not?
Why is that? Because he's going to put in a Captain Fantastic performance.
Yeah, he does it every time. But I think he'll be the perfect man. Obviously, you've got the Ipswich boys and blah, blah, blah. But I think Sam Worsley. You know, Connor Chaplin's up there as well, but I'm just naming all the squad now. But yeah, going back to my original answer, Sam Worsley, Captain Fantastic. Scores an absolute screamer and just basically just goes to the way and just here he is. So yeah, he's my hero, baby. Sam Worsley to score.
Sam Worsley. Yeah. AJ, Derby Day hero before we get to predictions. Who is most likely for you?
I've got a head versus heart situation here because every fibre in my being wants to say Ali Alhamady, but I'm gonna go Amari Hutchinson. There's a couple of different bits that play into this. I just think that he's one of those players that will suit this environment. We saw him get kind of handle the pressure quite well. The game that comes to mind is Huddersfield, where he just got booed every time he touched the ball and he just loved it. And he had everyone sticking up for him and he handled that really well. But also, I just feel like there's a few Norwich fans have mentioned this, that Sam McCallum on their left back is an area that they feel is a bit of a concern. And they've been a bit worried looking at Murray Hutchinson's form, thinking that that kind of 1v1 battle could be one of the key areas going into this game. So I think that if he can find a bit of space, he can make something happen.
I'm saying Murray Hutchinson for two reasons. A, because he's electrifying, and B, because he is most likely to pull out an iconic goal celebration, the sort of thing we saw from Danny Haynes, of course, that famous picture of him. An Amari Hutchinson backflip at Carrow Road would be the stuff of legend for years to come. So I'm going to say Amari Hutchinson. How about you, Stu? Have you got any different thoughts?
Who do I want it to be? Luke Wolfenden.
Yeah?
Ipswich boy. Who do I think it will be? Connor Chaplin.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he's got the eye of the tiger about him at the moment. He's done a bit of press. Yeah, I could see a trademark Ipswich goal, a sort of a Davis cut back into the box and a Connor Chaplin finish.
Okay, right then. The stage is set. Prediction time. AJ, you're running away with the league, I believe. I haven't seen an update on the league for some time, Rossi, and I'm not too mad about that. What are you saying, AJ, for this game?
Yeah, I haven't seen an update either, which is a bit sad because I know I went with a 3-2 win on Monday, so I'm intrigued to see where we're at now. I'm going to stick with my prediction from my predictions piece, seeing as I had a 3-2 win in that one for the Southampton games. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw, which, yeah, replicates the last game. First goal scorer, Connor Chaplin. I think I like the idea of Stu's suggestion with the cutback situation. I think that might be the first goal for this one.
2-2 Connor Chaplin, baby. Rossi, I think you're second. I don't know if you can confirm that or not. And indeed, the current points. Yeah, give us an update.
Yeah, so AJ is top, obviously, with 50 points. He's hit the 50 points mark.
He's hit the 50.
Yes. I'm second with 41 points, so 9 points away. Heathie, you're third with 31 points. Stu is fourth with 30 points.
Oh, there is actually some interest then. The relegation battle.
I drew level, didn't I, with the Blackburn result? And then did Heathie edge back in front on?
Yeah, because he got the. Did you go for a draw? You went for a draw for Southampton, didn't you?
Can't remember.
So the relegation battle really is on. We'll have to discuss what happens if one of us gets relegated. Because
I did
really
go for a draw. I went 2-2, didn't I?
Yeah. So obviously you went for
so
a win.
Close, but I'm more than happy to let that one go with what happened.
I went for 3-1, so I was close in a different way. Rossi, you need to really start getting some results right, first scores right, if you're going to catch AJ. It looks unlikely unless AJ pulls a Leicester. So he's gone for 2-2. What are you saying?
If they've got a bloody win, they've got to.
Yeah.
Come on. So I'm going to go 2-1.
Yeah.
First goal scorer. I like the idea about Connor Chaplin, so I'm going to go Connor Chaplin first goal scorer, and then Sam Morsey scores an absolute late winner and a screamer from like 30 yards, and then
scenes
in that way, and I will probably break something because they'll be jumping right near the photographer's pit, because I think it's right near the away end, so it's going to be one hell of a scenes if that does happen. So yeah, 2-1, and I finally break the Derby Day curse. What's the word?
Well, hoodoo, I guess we'd say. Hoodoo. One of those words you only ever use in sports journalism, hoodoo.
Yeah.
But you would say there's a hoodoo around this game at the moment for Ipswich Town. So we've got 2-2. You said Connor Chaplin, didn't you, AJ? First goal scorer. And who was yours? Sorry, Rossi. I was just focusing on the Morsey long-range screamer to win it. 2-1.
Connor Chaplin as well.
You've gone Chaplin as well. Right, I'll go next then. So Stu can have the opportunity to move above me with a correct pick. I'm going to say 3-2 Ipswich Town. And I'm going to say, first goal scorer, I'm going to say Amari Hutchinson. Just because I really want that backflip picture. That would be perfect. So 3-2 for me, Amari Hutchinson. Stewie, opportunity here for you. What are you going to say?
I'm going to be boring. I'm going to say 1-1. I'm going to say 1-1. And Connor Chaplin, as I was alluded to.
If I was the only one who predicted a draw and you'd all gone for wins, that would look really awkward on me. Wow.
Well, as we said already, you two are the kind of the sensible, thoughtful, analytical, objective duo.
That's fine, but Ipswich are often like a sensible, objective team. They just do the opposite of what you expect them to do. If you think they're going to drop points, they often won't. That was kind of my thought process. The reason why I did quite well at the beginning of the season, because every time I thought, oh, this is going to happen, I thought, oh, you know what? They'll win. Because I don't think they're going to win, so they'll win. And that's why I ended up racking all these points up at the start.
Okay, so we've got two draws and we've got two wins. And I want to ask you one more question on a sort of prediction tip, which is, I've already asked you about Derby Day Hero, but is there like a left wing, a left kind of field, someone we're not even talking about at the moment who could have an impact on this game? AJ, you look confident, so I'm going to come to you first. Who are you saying?
Václav Hladký.
Oh, and I sorry, Ross. I was going to say that as well.
Sorry. you know what? If anyone's going to pull out some lovely saves, maybe a penalty save. So I'm like, oh God, imagine a penalty. It'll be awful. But I just feel like if anyone has the ability to kind of embrace that hero performance, let's say, because he's the one who's often been the man who stepped up in the big moments when things potentially haven't gone Town's way, to make the saves, even sometimes making up for his own errors, like we saw at Blackburn. He's the one who's often coming up and doing that. So I don't think we'll see a last-minute Vaz winner. You never know. Obviously, Christian Moulton came close last year, so it's not impossible. But I do think that there is the capacity for maybe someone a little bit left field. And if it is going to be someone like that, I think Vaz would be top of the list.
Stewie, have you got a left-field pick?
Throw a few into the mix.
Like it.
Not given Jeremy Sarmiento a single mention in this podcast this week. And he's had some big, big moments Monday good night, shout. Topping the lot for Ipswich Town. Visualise this. Jack Taylor, the trademark thunder bastard. We've not seen one of those since the early stages of the season. We know he's got it in his locker. Carrow Road would be the time and place to deliver one of those. And the last one I'll throw into the mix, we talk about wanting the Ipswich boys to do it, Wolfenden and Clark. I'd love Caden Jackson to have a Derby Day moment. We talked about some of us having experienced more of this pain for longer than others. Caden Jackson's been at this club for quite some time now. He can remember the Derby days in the Championship before. He can remember Paul Lambert, who he didn't get on with particularly well doing his pathetic fate fight at Carrow Road touchline. So Caden Jackson, I think I'd like that. He's he's like them all. He quietly plays his part. I think it's a big group culture, isn't it, at Ipswich Town, a squad ethos, and I think Caden kind of sums that up. So we said he might be needed at some point, given the striker situation, you never know.
I'm going to say Harry Clark, just because also that's another thing that I'd like to see, an epic Derby Day fist pump from Harry Clark, for reasons we talked about. Rossi, you've got anyone else you might want to throw in there?
Do you know what? Because they've got Josh Sargent up top. Cameron Burgess, you know, he's gonna win everything. He's going to head all the balls, going to boot the ball out as well. He's going to be hard as nails, as he always is. So, yeah, Cameron Burgess, nice little shout for him.
Cameron Burgess is the sort of player you'd want to be playing alongside in a game like this.
I want to take one more quickly. Oh. I won't go too in-depth on it, but another quick shout, because he often comes in with his big moment, like once every five or six games, something like that. What about Marcus Harness?
Oh, that was the other one I was thinking of as well. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. He would be kind of an under the radar, but you're right. He is. We've seen big moments from him, haven't we, already this season? So could be. Right. I think we've said pretty much everyone who might be on the bench there or indeed starting that we haven't talked about, but Sarmiento is clearly a good shout as well, Stewie. Anything else to mention then, boys, before we take our leave? We're coming up on the perfect hour, the golden hour. We should mention, of course, Rossi, you've got a live fan social going out tonight. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, 6 p.m. live on all platforms. Not Instagram, because I don't think you can do Instagram live, but on Facebook, on the Twitter, on the YouTubes. Good old King of the North, John Watson, will be joining me. Bloomers and a special guest who's actually in this chat right now, Alex Jones, AJ, Young Guns, are going to be there discussing, bring you more build up to the derby. So join us live, share your thoughts, your predictions. Yeah, get in there.
Excellent. Boys, anything else to mention from you? AJ, you're looking forward to hitting Carrow Road for the first time as a town reporter?
What, like literally or metaphorically?
Not hitting, no. Don't, what? Please don't actually
hit Carrow Road. That would really hurt. Yeah. I feel like I'd miss the game, like having to go to hospital if that happens.
You wouldn't be able to typey-type if you hit Carrow Road.
I would not be able to typey-type. And if Ross was to do it, he would not be able to take his snappy snaps. No. looking forward to it. Yeah, I think my memories of when I was doing my East Anglian coverage for Prost a few years ago is that press box is quite tight at Carrow Road. So it'd be interesting to go back actually on the blue side of this as well and getting to experience one of my first derby experiences full stop as well. So yeah, really looking forward to this.
Stewie?
Buzzimba. Can't wait. Yeah, we've had no end of drama, have we, at Carrow Road over the years? I've mentioned the Lambert shenanigans. We've had mixed gesture to the fans after that dramatic finish. We've had Berra's handball on the line. We've had it all. Bit of redemption arc for everybody. It would just be great, wouldn't it?
I've just realised why my phone keeps going off in podcasts. I obviously call you Stewie quite a lot, and I think my phone thinks I'm saying Siri. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. I think I've just, when I say Stewie really emphatically, my phone gets excited. Right then, friends, speaking of excitement, it doesn't get more exciting than what's going to go down in Norfolk tomorrow. Steel yourselves, friends, once more into the breach we're going to go. These green battlefields that have seen so many disappointments, heartbreak, defeats in the past. But we've talked already this season about Ipswich Town being on some sort of sporting fairy tale, haven't we? Writing a story, one of the greatest stories, the impossible dream, the impossible story. And, you know, friends, what happens at the end of every good fairy tale? The hero beats the villain. The hero always wins. And there's a chance that happens at Carrow Road tomorrow. Friends, enjoy it if you're going. If you're not, follow it with us. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, friends, to talk about Ipswich Town finally ending their Derby Day hoodoo. Come on, you Blues!